Even though it's a story that everybody knows, they want to see it. You know, we're all kids, really, and kids love to have the story, that same book, over and over again. And it's just a testament to how beautifully crafted and told the story is that people want to see it. That said, you know, I don't think people have seen this on stage. I actually only know of one other theater that, and I'm sure there are others, but one other professional theater that is doing an adaptation like we are, where they're actually doing the whole thing on stage. What you do see a lot of is a radio show version. So they play out like you are watching the radio, the live radio show with five actors at microphones with scripts in hand doing the story. And I wanted to see the scenes actually happen. And because of that, I think that seeing it in a live theater mode is going to reopen all of the emotions of this and the humor and the loveliness of this story in a way that people will be surprised to see.
Andrew Dahl, you're George Bailey, who at least I identify as really an everyman. And I think we can identify with the troubles he's going through. I think perhaps even more so given the current climate of the country. Mm-hmm. How do you approach bringing George Bailey to the stage?
Well, I'm one of those people whose family saw the movie every year, so I've seen it probably 18 times. So on the one hand, I can't forget that. I can't forget Jimmy Stewart's portrayal. But then on the other hand, I think something that most actors try to do is treat any script, and actors who do Shakespeare, I think, run into this issue a lot, is trying to treat the script like it's new, as if it were a new script that you got on your desk or something like that. I think the most exciting thing for me about George, and for any character, is needs and things that pull him. And he has two incredible things that pull him, which is a sense of ambition, a desire to go out and to see the world, to do as much as he can, to take advantage of his talents. So that's an incredible pull. But then on the other hand, he has this incredible sense of responsibility. And I think that's something that really, both of those clearly, I think, would resonate with most people on Earth, but Americans specifically, in terms of ambition and responsibility. And the most fun drama is when those two needs collide. And the most exciting and the most ecstatic and tragic moments for George in the play are where one of those needs trumps the other, or where both needs are equally equally strong. So I would say, I guess, if there's one way I look at it, I try to look at it from trying to chart, is this where George's ambition is in control, or is this where George's sense of responsibility is in control?
Mary ages from, what, about 19 when we first meet her?
Yeah. Because
George has come back, and maybe she's out of high school, but not much.
Mm-hmm. Just graduating.
And then she's a mother of four or five by the end. Do you consider that while you're putting this role together?
A little bit. It's interesting because the script is so well crafted that it just kind of happens naturally with the words. So there's just the first scene where they're courting, there's a very youthful energy to it. So it's sort of, you're just 17. You're just, when you're doing that and experiencing, you know, first love, like the best day with the person that you fall in love with the first time every night, which has got pretty much the best job you could have in the world.
As long as you like the person you're falling in love with, right?
Exactly. And then, yeah, just finding that there's such an amazing journey that all the characters take that I think by the end, the family pull is equal to first love. You know, so that's an equally beautiful thing, but it also gives her more weight, I would say.
Well, you are the same character throughout the play, Bryce and Coleman, you're not. So I want to hear from both of you how many roles you play and what's the quickest change you have to make.
12. 15. Huh? He's got me trumped. But quickest for me, I go from Mr. Gower to Uncle Bailey to Peter Bailey to Mr. Gower in pretty quick time.
What are some of the other roles besides?
We both have a scene that we kind of come in as multiple characters over and over, which if you're familiar with the movie, is at the end when they're all giving money. A couple of the characters have to come in over and over as different people, where we're going to do minimal costume changes, but it's really going to rely on our acting abilities, I guess, to show who we are in those moments.
Do you play young George Bailey?
I do, yes, sir.
Bob, what's a first rehearsal like when you finally have the cast? Because oh, not everyone is from Fayetteville that's in that cast, so you had to get them together. What do you do in that first rehearsal? Do you start from the top?
You start from the top. I mean, the first rehearsal really, what it's really about is just kind of getting to know each other and trying to create an atmosphere where people feel safe. And I hope that worked. Maybe it was 10 days before we found. But yeah. And you read through the play and you talk about it. You'd see if you were on the same page with, you know, kind of interpretive, general interpretation. And then it's the director's job to kind of say, this is what I'm going for. This is what to expect. For example, we're not doing the 39 steps. Mm-hmm. We're not spoofing this movie. We really want to hit the emotional values that the movie hits.
The final, final third of this story, you know, it's been pretty good-natured up to then, but it's some pretty riveting stuff at the end, because George and Mary, you get the feeling that if the marriage isn't crumbling, it's in crisis. Financially, stress. Is that, I don't know if difficult is the right word, but you've got to bring a different set of emotions to the last third of the play than you do the first third. Is that fair to say?
I think yes and no. I think what's so exciting about the story is that it gets a sort of bad rap as a kind of, somebody I was talking to the other day said Capricorn, so like Capra, corny. And it gets a sort of corny rap. When you actually look at the story, it's got these really, really dark elements. And it actually has some relatively, what I would assume at the time was relatively transgressive material, the idea of suicide, starvation, hunger, poverty, stuff like that. So I think when you sort of release the idea of cheesy, you see some really kind of harsh elements everywhere in the script. I mean, even from the beginning, there are really hard times. There's family tragedy at the beginning. So one of the really exciting things for me, and this is maybe where I come at things as an actor, is really allowing for the darkness in the human experience. I think if you ignore that sort of thing, then that's dishonest. And I think the story is really exciting when you allow for those elements. So there, it does get darker certainly later, but there's some really rough stuff throughout the whole story. So that's been one of my favorite things, is to really not go overboard with any sort of negative side of things, but really embrace it as an important part of the story.
Sabrina?
I think there are different depths in later on in the play than there are at the beginning, but it's not fair. He probably has to go further, and for me, it's sort of riding along with him. And also a thing that's a lot of fun to play as well about Mary is that Mary can hit those depths. She can touch on them. She can be there for a second. She doesn't dwell on them. She's really, you know, the person who is searching for solutions, looking for the upside, looking for what's wonderful and beautiful in anything. So, yeah, there are those moments where it tips over, it's going down, and then it bounces back up. So it's not that difficult. And I just go along with him, and he's doing a great job. So it's very easy.
Well, I know we're going to see a preview, and it's from when George and Mary are very young, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if we see that now?
Let's do it.
All right.
Try not to bark into this microphone too much. So you'll have to imagine that we're on a street in costume. I'm in full football garb.
And I'm wearing a bathrobe. This is after we've fallen into the pool at the dance and strolling home.
Strolling home on the street. All right, shall we? Should we set up some bushes?
Sure.
You want to just hide back there?
I'll hide back here.
Great.
This is a hydrangea bush.
So. Magic of theater.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight?
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight and dance by the light of the moon?
Hot dog, just like an organ.
Beautiful.
Oh, let me hold that old wet dress of yours.
Do I look as silly as you?
Guess I'm not quite the football type. It was all they had in the locker room. You?
Yes?
Well, if it wasn't me talking, I'd say you were the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say it?
I don't know. Maybe I will say it. How old are you anyway?
18.
18? Why, it was just last year you were 17.
Too young or too old?
No. Just right. Yes, sir? Your age fits you. I mean, you look older without your clothes on. I mean, without a dress on, you look older. With it, you look younger. I mean, you look just right. Uh-oh.
Sir, my train.
A pox upon me for a clumsy lout. Your caboose, my lady.
You may kiss my hand.
Hey, Mary.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight?
All right, then I'll throw a rock at the old Granville place.
Oh, no, George, don't. I love that old place.
No, you see, you make a wish and then you try and break some glass. What?
No, George, that place is full of romance. I'd like to live there someday.
In that place?
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't live in it as a ghost. Now watch, second floor there.
What did you wish for, George?
Not just one wish, Mary, but a whole hatful. See, I know what I'm doing tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that, and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy old town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. And then I'm going to come back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build things, going to build airfields and skyscrapers 100 stories high, going to build bridges a mile long. Or are you going to throw a rock? Hey, that was pretty good. What'd you wish for?
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight?
What'd you wish for when you threw that rock, Mary?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on, tell me.
No, if I told you, it might not come true.
What is it you want, Mary? You want the moon? Just say the word, and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
Well, then you could swallow it. And it'd dissolve, see? And moonbeams would come out of your fingers and toes and the ends of your hair. Am I talking too much?
Yes. Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
How's that?
Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
You want me to kiss her, huh?
Ah, youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Hey, come back here. And I'll show you some kissing that'll put hair back on your head. What?
Ow!
Mary? All right, I give up. Where are you?
Over here in the hydrangea bushes.
Ooh, here, catch. Wait a minute. What am I doing? This is a very interesting situation.
Please give me my robe.
Not every day that a man gets into a situation like this.
I'd like to have my robe.
Not in Bedford Falls, anyway.
Ouch!
Gesundheit. No, this requires some thought here.
George Bailey, shame on you!
I mean, I've heard of things like this, but I have never...
I am going to tell your mother!
Oh, she's way up the corner there.
Well, then I'll call the police.
Well, they're way downtown, and they'd be on my side, too.
I'm going to scream.
No, see... Oh, maybe I could sell tickets. Let me see. No, wait. The idea is for you to get this robe back. I've got it. Mary? I'll make a deal with you.
And family tragedy strikes.